Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending the session. So this is the Nokia session on learning how to tar. Personal introduction, I'm David Mason. I'm Director of Business Mobility at Nokia. I'm based in Finland in the headquarters. And I've had the joy of being here for a couple of weeks in Orlando enjoying the weather with my family. So thankfully there's air conditioning in this room because I'm a little bit fed up of standing in queues at Disney. Outside, but for me, this is a personal journey as well. Nokia has been in partnership with Microsoft, for over 3 years. We started with Symbian, and we brought Microsoft apps, so Office, Outlook, ActiveSync, to our Symbian platform. February 2011, we announced the strategy change to adopt Windows Phone. I was personally involved in that project, so really great to be here and see really come to life. Today we'll spend some time, spend most of the time sharing you some of the experiences of people adopting Nokia Lumia devices. I will talk about a little bit about some of the technologies we've got and showcasing and some future things as well. And you can see many more of that and get a more detailed demonstration of the technologies we have and the devices we've got on our stand in the exhibition area. We will talk about Nokia's experience of actually transitioning to Windows Phone, and, the Nokia Lumia devices. And Kalle Lehtinen, who's Director of Mobile Experiences at Nokia IT, will share the experiences from Nokia's view. Obviously, a big transition for us, like many companies who adopt Windows Phone. And he'll share those experiences and also what we're doing that's innovative and new and how we're looking at pushing the boundaries as well with Windows Phone. Then I'm really glad to say that we have David Middleton. David Middleton works at the Seton Hall University, and he'll talk more about that, but they're rolling out Nokia Lumia devices, 900s, to all of their freshmen. And bringing a unique experience to their freshmen, and he'll talk about that and how they've gone about driving that forward and their plans for that. And actually, we announced that publicly today at 2 o'clock, so it's really fresh news. So I'm really glad that he's here to share that. So David is the executive director of the Center of Mobile Research and Innovation, and also AVP of Administration at Seton Hall. So those gentlemen will join us on stage, and then we'll have a Q&A as well at the end of the session. So just a few highlights. I'm not going to give you a marketing spin on the devices, but obviously our story on Windows Phones, the Nokia Lumia devices, we now have 4 devices in the marketplace. These all come with outstanding productivity experience that delivered by Microsoft. Supporting the back-end infrastructure, Office 365, or fixed infrastructure that you may have in your business. Supporting Link, Exchange, SharePoint, etc. Then that's wrapped in what I describe personally as beautiful devices. Obviously, that's the marketing speak for you. Also, we provide support for business customers as well through Expert Center as well. So Expert Center is an online Q&A chat and repository for information on our technical support for business as well. But as I said, please spend some time at our stand and we can share more about the overall experience of the devices we have. So let me talk about some of the technology. So, really just a chance to share some of the things we're doing, some of the things that we bring to Windows Phone and the devices that are unique to the devices we bring to market. And hopefully you find this interesting as well. I'm going to talk, first of all, actually about a technology that today isn't in Windows Phone devices, the Nokia Lumia devices. It's only on one device, this device in my hand, which is the Nokia 808 PureView, and we plan to bring this technology to Nokia Lumia devices as well. This device has a 41 megapixel camera. So 41, you know, I don't, you know, my SLR is fairly good, and I think it has 12, you know, to give you a view. So, and some of the photography you can do with this thing is amazing. So, and I mean amazing, and I'll show you an example in a second. But basically what we do with this 41 megapixel, you can take a 41 megapixel shot with this, and maybe I'll take one now while I'm... there we are. I've got everybody now captured on my... that means you can actually, you know, do a billboard size image from this phone. But actually the main use case is a PureView technology, which means actually we take... you capture 7 pixels and we actually extrapolate that down to 1 pixel. So you get a much clearer image. And you can do some... So let me give you an example of a photo taken with PureView. So you can really see in this photograph the detail around the rope and the Kariba, and then also the depth of field that you can get with you know, the background as well. So, but then let me click. Oh, sorry, I've gone the wrong way, so it helps if my PC goes the right direction. Well, let me click in to give you a view of how much detail when you zoom down you really get. You know, so I was in Vegas at CES, and one of my colleagues had a prototype at that time, and he was taking photographs from his room 20 floors up that he could zoom in and read the street signs that were written on the wall because of the detail you can capture. You can't see them with the naked eye, but he could zoom in. So, you know, and as I said, this is one technology we will bring and, you know, to Nokia Lumia devices as well in the coming future. So let me talk about another area that we're also innovating in and investing in, and that's location-based services. So location-based services, obviously, 3 years ago we acquired Navtech as a company, so the mapping company. We've investing in mapping the world, both in terms of roads, but also points of interest. So that means we can bring some really amazing things, and we're already doing that with Bing, with Microsoft as part of our partnership, but we can bring those to the phones as well. So, and at the same time, developers can build on it. So you can actually access this and use this data for your business applications as well. And if you want to learn more about the APIs, et cetera, there's people from our developer teams on the stand as well. So a few examples of the apps that we provide on our devices, on the Lumia devices. So Nokia Maps gives you, points of interest, and enables you to see transit routes as well, you know, so also, you know, to see, you know, satellite as well on your phone. And also, it's... yeah, so then the next one is Nokia Drive. This gives you turn-by-turn navigation over 100 countries, presently supported for that, with localized language as well. And the other thing I would also say about this is, you know, so you can pre-install the maps. So this is not over the air. There's not a data cost if it's pre-installed, and it's part of the setup, easy setup of, you can download over Wi-Fi those maps. So, you know, I think unique in terms of out-of-the-box, you know, turn-by-turn experience. And another app we have is Nokia Transport. Nokia Transport works, enables, I think, 300 cities presently, where you get live up-to-the-minute data of local transport. So an example for me is I live in Helsinki, which obviously nobody here does, but New York also applies, I understand. So, but I can... It's much easier for me to get into the center of the city by public transport, because the public transport is so good, than drive and park and pay the parking fee. It's much cheaper as well. But with this application, it knows where I am. I can tell you where I want to go, and it'll tell me what the best route to do that is, walking, to which bus stop or to which tram stop, which train stop, etc., and then what time I will arrive, etc. It gives you all of that detail. And the next route, and the next alternative, and the one after that. So then another one that's tied to our location-based services is a Nokia City Lens. This is a beta application which you can download from our beta labs. And basically you hold the phone up Many of you have seen similar applications, but I think uniquely in the way that we've integrated the points of interest, the camera, and also the mapping data. So you hold the camera up and you can see, I could see what restaurants are nearby, what points of interest are nearby, so what the hotel is, and also find more information about that. So if we're outside, one of the attractions in the Ripley's attraction down the road from here, then you could actually find that information by clicking on the tag that you see here. And then when you put the phone flat, you also see the maps, the map as well, so you can easily see where it is as well. So you can spatially turn around, but then you can also put the phone flat and see the map and walk in that direction as well. So what else do we bring to this play with Microsoft? I think the other thing I would hold up is actually the design and the precision manufacturing of these devices. So to give you a view, this is a polycarbonate shell that we have here, and it's machined out of a solid piece of polycarbonate. And there are a few things, other than the fact that it's beautiful to feel and touch, etc., but there are a few real things of value as well here, is the fact that you can also scratch this, and the color runs all the way through. So you don't scratch away the paint, because it's always there. So this device, feels and looks good, and lasts, the lifetime of the device in your business. And then the other thing to say about this is, because it's not a metal case, you get the best RF coverage as well. So actually, you get better coverage with this device because of the RF antenna not being impacted by a metal case. So we think really about how we design and build these devices, and that's from the design through to the manufacturing. And when we come to machine these, obviously, we need to be able to machine every one in the same way, and it requires real precision in the way that we bring that machining to volume. So just a couple of things that I want to talk about the future. So let's talk about, we're continuing to invest in radio, NFC. I think you may not aware, but we have NFC announced devices for Orange in Europe, where we're running. They'll be available very soon with Orange, the 610 NFC Lumia device that we have. And then we're doing things like indoor location as well. But let me talk about nanotechnology, because this is a really interesting area. And we have a lab in Cambridge in the UK that focuses on nanotechnology. And the example I'm going to show here is an effect that comes from the lotus leaf. So the lotus leaf, basically when water falls on it, it just falls off. And you'll see in a second that we can bring this also to surface technology as well in our phones. And that's what we're looking to do. So let me show you an example of a regular surface and a super hydrophonic phobic surface, which is the nanotechnology surface that we're talking about. And you can see immediately here from this video the difference, that when you coat a surface with this super hydrophobic layer, that you can protect it from water much better than a regular surface can be. So this again is about bringing great technology that can really make an impact in electronics. And obviously water in your electronics isn't great, as many of us will know. I think somebody this morning told me they'd already spilt the water on their laptop and it was dead. So the other step, next step on this actually, is to get self-healing surfaces as well. So when you scratch, they self-heal as well. So these are things that we're working on and investing in today. And we have 500 scientists and researchers and have invested billions in this kind of research as well. So, sorry, let me just wait 1 second before I click. So let me just finish with one video. I wanted to show, I do not recommend you do this at home, but just to show you actually what this technology and the technologies we invest in can mean. So I'm going to roll this video, and this guy is going to hit is Nokia Lumia 900 with a nail and a hammer, and then hit a nail into a piece of wood with it, as well as you'll see, and you'll see how robust our screens are.
Well, here we are again in the hardware validation lab. In response to a video that is out on YouTube concerning how tough the glass is on the toughest phone in the world, we're going to show you exactly how tough the glass is here on the Nokia Lumia 900. So in order to do that, we've prepared some nails and a hammer. And you might ask yourself what we're going to do with these. Well, check it out. The glass is quite tough here. We can take a nail and we can start banging around the screen here and nothing's going to happen. Bang, bang, all over the screen. No cracks, glass is still intact. In fact, we can actually use this as a hammer itself. Displays perfectly fine, and that nail is in there. So as you can see, the glass is very, very tough on the phone, and will survive pretty much anything. Excuse me. Hello.
So as you can see, the technologies we put into our phones, make a real difference. And obviously, I recommend that you do not do that with your phone. Because if you do it, I personally won't be replacing it because it doesn't get covered by the warranty. It's not a hammer in the manual. You can go to Home Depot and buy a hammer. So Guy, I'm going to hand you over now to Kelly, who's going to talk about Nokia IT's experience. And I'll be back at the end for Q&A. So thank you very much.
Thank you, David. And hello, everyone. So my name is Kalle Lehtinen, coming from the Nokia IT organization, heading their mobile experience, so basically responsible for the enterprise mobility. And today, got a few topics to share. So it's all about sharing. So first of all, a bit of my own background. And then I want to spend some time going through the Nokia IT environment. So how we're actually using Microsoft products there. And then some internal data points. So earlier this year, we did a quite extensive survey within Nokia and how people are actually using or would like to use their mobile devices and some interesting findings from there. And then spending quite a bit of time on how we actually are using Lumias now in Nokia. So a few examples there. How to kind of set it up, how we are arranging support, and the overall experiences with the Microsoft products and services. Then towards the end, I have a few examples. So within my team, we have now, during this spring, worked on the kind of internal solutions and concepts that, based on the survey, that would be kind of valuable for our own employees. And let's see if you find them interesting. But let's get started. So just want to spend a few minutes there that I've done something else than IT for basically my main career. So I've been with the company almost 20 years. Scary. I started as a software engineer, so basically I have a software background. I've been running software products and software R&D, and then moving to kind of a more managerial roles, of course, not being kind of very good at coding, so that's kind of a sad fact. Then working with the process, methods, tools, from there, kind of running some kind of common R&D solutions overall. Then more recently, spending some time with our CTO office, responsible for technology management. So kind of basic technologies like VLANs, Bluetooth, and stuff like that. So how to kind of deploy those throughout our product portfolio. And then more recently, now basically beginning of this year, moved to IT. And we in Nokia call IT information and capability management. So we combine with the IT the kind of business process related development. So kind of not just the kind of IT, but how we actually develop these new solutions for our own employees and so forth. And they are responsible for the mobile experience. Then a bit on the Nokia IT environment. So We have more than 50,000 Windows PCs deployed, and we've been using laptops for quite a while. So majority of those are our laptops, something like 42,000. We do have Linux for R&D purposes, so our feature phones, the Azure phones that you can find in our booth. So they are developed on top of a Linux platform, so quite a few Linux pieces as well. We have Macs, of course. We have designers and some other individuals that like to use Macs. But then when it comes to mobiles, so we have roughly 20,000 employees that are synchronizing their mobile devices with our Exchange backend. And of course, this doesn't mean that there would be only 20,000 devices accessing the system. So they use kind of much more. I personally use more or less actively 3 to 5 different phones all the time. And I'm not alone there. And of course, we're also using competitive products, so not just Windows Windows phones, but try to understand what is the kind of what the competition is heading. We are having people in 73 different locations. Of course, we have R&D sites, sales and marketing, production, so quite well spread organization across the globe. And when it comes to the Microsoft environment in relation to Exchange, Link and SharePoint. So we've been using Microsoft Online Services for quite a while. So we already started, if I remember correctly, 2008, and migrated our on-premises Exchange to MS Online 2009. And then from there, moved on with the SharePoint and so forth. And of course, that's given us quite nice leverage now when bringing in Windows phones and Lumia devices. So that area, and we'll soon be learning more how that actually has helped our process when deploying our Lumia devices for our workforces. Like I said in the beginning, so earlier this year we did a survey, internal survey. So we handpicked from our Exchange users, some like 10,000 users, and out of those 6,000 responded. So that's kind of a pretty impressive response rate. So we have a pretty sufficient data there, and of course, we are all about mobiles, so our people like to spend time with their mobile devices, and of course, easy of use, how we can be productive, and what type of use cases we want to use, so that was the kind of reason for this survey. And a few findings there, and this is now the top 10 use cases from our survey, and the greener the bar, the more useful from the employees' individual's perspective it is to have this type of basic services. And of course, there are pretty straightforward things like accessing corporate phone book and being able to send the contacts to my device. And of course, in this particular example, so this is a basic functionality of Exchange. So now with the Windows Phone People Hub, you can, of course, search through your kind of Exchange contacts. But if you're not able to kind of find the contact from your own device, then you can actually search from the Exchange backend. And there we already have, of course, all of our corporate employee information, so it's kind of easy to kind of get the contacts to your own device. I'm not just, is it just on us on Nokians, but we like to spend time on meetings, maybe too much, and quite a few use cases are around meetings, so how to actually make it more easy for our employees to kind of attend meetings, book meeting rooms, find available meeting rooms, and so forth. There are some use cases on how to make phone calls with Link. That sounds interesting. Then booking a flight or a hotel through mobile devices, pretty green there as well. And see Nokia Office indoor maps with proof of point of interest information included. So this is something I'll be actually going through as one of the concepts that we're currently working on. So these are kind of just the kind of top of the list, and of course the kind of list goes on. But then when we take a look at the how long people are usually want to spend time with their mobile devices. And the kind of more darker red, so the kind of this kind of 15 to 30 minutes. And of course, when you are kind of spending time in the evening and or at a hotel, so there's kind of more time for you to kind of spend time with your mobile device. So more than 60% are spending more than 15 to 30 minutes with the mobile devices. Of course, then when commuting, going to office or back on bus or train, again, spending quite a bit of time there. Then it's kind of when we're getting kind of lower on the list of cases, like during a lunch or coffee break or while I'm waiting for my PC to kind of recover. So then it's kind of more about small moments, and I guess that was a kind of a learning we did from this survey, that usually when you're kind of doing something, you have kind of spare minute or two. It would be kind of great to have everything online on your device and kind of be able to do something meaningful, and then kind of get back what we actually were doing. And this is all about the kind of what we are now currently looking into. So how to actually enable these small moments in employees' daily lives. Then getting down to the business. So how do we actually have set up Lumias for our business use? And this is now a screenshot example of Lunk 2010 mobile client. And as you can see there, so as an end user, what do I have to do to kind of get going? You enter your email address, password, domain, that's it. In a similar manner, when you set up the mobile Outlook client on your Windows phone, or first time that you are accessing SharePoint through the Office Hub, in a similar manner, you enter the username, password, and domain, and that's about it. And everything, all the rest happens in the backend. So auto-discovery finds the kind of needed settings, what servers that you are looking into, ports and stuff like that. And just thinking that it wasn't that far away, something like 5 years ago. So when you were having kind of a mobile device and want to configure your email, it took half an hour for a specialist to kind of actually go through the kind of tedious task of kind of all of the kind of settings there. And now it's kind of 30 seconds. And that's pretty impressive. And of course, when people are now kind of setting up their kind of, for example, the Outlook. So then from IT perspective, we're enforcing the device password and lock. So that actually then the device will be kind of enabled. On the support side, I'm running a small team that actually is supporting the different mobile experiences within Nokia. And surprisingly enough, we have totally introduced a new platform for our users, and the number of mobile support cases has been going down. And what might be the kind of reasons for that, of course, we have a pretty extensive self-support and knowledge management available through our intranet. Also, our own employees are able to kind of update that information. We are having a very active internal community, well, of course, not just kind of internal on Windows Phone, but of course also kind of then through the external social media. We are using Socialcast as a kind of our own internal sharing platform. And then we have a backstage. So it's kind of a concept where we trial out alpha and beta level applications internally, collect feedback from real users, and from this backstage, then we actually hook up with the Windows Phone Marketplace to actually get the application on the devices. But that's on the support side. So the support has actually been decreasing. So that's a kind of a conclusion there. Then getting on the email contacts and calendar. So of course, basically no surprise. Those are the kind of strong areas of Windows phones. So they're always up to date. And ActiveSync is taking care of their synchronization. Like I said, we can enforce security policies with ActiveSync, and we can have the kind of basic rights management policy restrictions applied as well. And for sure, this is kind of not very extensive device management support, but for sure we can do this kind of remote wipe on lost devices through the system center, or then through the Outlook Exchange web access from individuals themselves. And of course, what is now pretty cool there is that this is kind of fully integrated with Office offering. So Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, they work seamlessly from the kind of emails. And when kind of moving forward, the Office Hub on the Windows Phone devices, so there we can use SharePoint to access the information on corporate, not just on the kind of mobile device or applications or documents sent as email attachments. So we can just share a link through the mail, for example, and then when you click on the link, it automatically saves the location on the Office Hub, and then for the next time you can actually use it, go browsing through there. One thing that we've been also using quite a bit is now OneNote. So we've been kind of starting to use more and more through our PCs, but now with kind of storing the OneNote documents on SharePoint sites, it's going to be easy that we can actually have the same access through our mobile devices. So that's pretty cool. Then on the unified communication, so as many of you, we've been using live meeting for screen sharing, having virtual meetings for quite many years now. We have had different flavors of voice over IP solutions. We have still have the IP-based voice conferencing system in-house. But as we speak, so we are now going through a major transition and basically replacing all of these with the MS Link Online and including MS Voice Online. So, this will be bringing us pretty significant savings. So, and actually, through the next slide, you can actually get a better view what we're able to do with this mobile link. So, of course, these savings are not coming from the kind of mobility end, but from the kind of PC side. So we are able to kind of ramp down these overlapping services and just replace them with the Microsoft Link Online service. And how does it actually look then on the kind of mobile side? So having the same rich experience, so you've been able to kind of see your contacts, the same groups that you have on your PC. You can see their statuses, and basically with one click, you can call them, chat them, or send email. And if you have this enterprise voice enabled, like we are now deploying it throughout Nokia, so if you have a calendar invite on your email or calendar, you just kind of click on that one, you have the link details. With one click, you are able to kind of get on this link meeting. And actually what happens, you are going to get call back from the link server for your mobile device. So it's going to be basically, in practice, not having cost at all for the kind of end user. And that's pretty impressive. Then I promised to show you some concepts that we're currently working on. And the kind of title, overall title is in Nokia. And we want to collect the relevant information that the employees will be needing in their daily use through these kind of different hubs. And of course, there are kind of people hubs, as we already have in the kind of Windows Phone as a kind of standard pack, so pretty good people hub there, but we want to enhance that with, for example, location-based information. So where your colleagues are, on what campus, what is the status there. We can have some information on the travels, for example, so upcoming travels, be able to make the travel claims. You can, as a manager, you can have the approvals, mobile approvals, on your Nokia hub. And of course, the kind of basic information on your campus, for example. So different types of information sharing purposes. So this is kind of overall overarching concept. And as a bit more detailed example, I've included here the Meeting Mate. So as Nokia is one of the Nokia strategically important areas for us, so of course we want to kind of explore what is possible to kind of experience on the kind of office environment. And we are now building a kind of proof of concepts on how to actually being able to book a meeting room through your mobile device, being able to find the closest available meeting room. So there in the slide you can see the kind of some colors, red, green, yellow. So red meaning, of course, the meeting room is booked. Green ones are available. And then the yellow ones are soon to be released. And based on that, you can actually click on the meeting room and make a reservation. And of course, when this comes a bit more interesting is the fact that when we add the location there, so that you are able to actually locate yourself in this map. And we have several options as technologies to be used there. So the basic thing would be that we could use, for example, the VLAN-based positioning. So based on the VLAN beacons, we can actually approximate where the device is on a kind of fairly accurate level. And then within Nokia, in our research labs, we've been developing a high-accuracy indoor positioning that is based on Bluetooth beacons. And then basically you can locate yourself to kind of a couple of centimeters. So that's pretty impressive. But this is kind of a early concept example that we're currently now internally within IT kind of developing going forward. So why we actually are doing this? So as a kind of a last takeaway, so we want it to make easy for our employees so that they can take advantage of the short moments in their daily lives to do these kind of common tasks quickly and easily when you have a minute to spare, you can actually go and approve a travel claim, check what's available on the cafeteria and so forth, so that they can focus on the more meaningful and valuable work and not to kind of spend time kind of shuffling through the menus. So with that, thank you all, and now I'll hand it over to David Middleton.
Working? No? Now we're on. So hello, everybody. My name is David Middleton. I am the Executive Director of the Center for Mobile Research and Innovation at Seton Hall University. And rather than starting off with a little bit about me, because everyone knows a lot about Nokia and need to know who from Nokia is here, nobody really knows who from Seton Hall. Well, first off, what is Seton Hall? Well, Seton Hall is a small, mid-sized university in New Jersey. We're about 14 miles as the crow flies from New York City, which means we're about an hour and a half in traffic. That being the case, we have a diverse student body, and we have a lot of technology history. We began in 1997 handing out laptops to our students. We were one of the first three schools in the country to do so, with Wake Forest, and I forget one of the others. But we've been doing so every year since then. And we are now moving into another direction. The Center for Mobile Research and Innovation at Seton Hall is a cross-functional entity designed to help us explore how mobile computing, which was in 1997 handing a laptop to students, now means something completely different. And that merging of and the movement of enterprise technologies into the consumer area means that we as an institution have an opportunity to help understand the impact of what mobile really is. We have an opportunity to help create new applications, new services, new uses of that. We can then investigate and we can research how that is actually taking place. And then it's obviously our obligation to then go out and discuss what we've learned and what we've created and help educate people about how mobile technology can be utilized and can be harnessed to help promote the obvious goals of your institutions as well as complementing personal uses that there may be. In addition to that, Seton Hall has a long history of working with mobile specifically and in many ways directly with Nokia. Back in 2007, we began looking at high-end devices and how they can be utilized to enhance the teaching and learning environment of our institution. We handed them out across our schools. We handed them out to students at various levels. And we did a number of different projects across from our business school to our nursing school. We had our College of Education and Human Services. We began building ways of understanding how the technology should and can be taken advantage of. We built an application, the Shoe Mobile application. It's available across platforms at this point. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. And then we started to research things. And in 2008, I believe it was, we launched an NFC-based scavenger hunt. And if any of you have ever been to an orientation on a college campus, you know that there's a period where students spend approximately 2 hours in a room like this, and the director of every office from campus comes up, says 10 minutes, and says, "Hi, I'm the director of financial aid. You need to find me. I'm in X and Y hall. You'll need me when you have this issue." Well, we decided to take that and build smart posters on campus and make a scavenger hunt. So our students were out learning the campus, we're out working together, and we're understanding where the technology that's coming down the pike for them is going, and what are they going to see? They're going to have NFC in their devices. They're going to have the ability to interact with the living internet and with their mobile devices. And we wanted to be providing an environment for our students to understand that and to take advantage of it while beginning to look at other things. At the same time, CMRI has worked closely with Nokia on Nokia data gathering and beginning to harness the ways that it can be used both in countries around the world, but also in higher education and beyond. So that gives you a little bit of sense of who Seton Hall is and what the center is. Obviously, the Center for Mobile Research and Innovation looks at the university and sees a little microcosm of our society, right? We have our issues with education and academics. We all want to improve administrative efficiency. We all want to generate more revenue. And we all want to recruit and retain quality students or employees. And so what we view ourselves as the center is an opportunity to bring together the administrative side of a university and the academic side of the university. And that way we can create situations wherein mobile technology is researched and also deployed. We looked at what was happening at the university and we realized that we had invested a little bit of money in Microsoft products. We had looked at the ability that where everyone is using Microsoft Office. Our students loved Office. We'd done pilots with other technologies, and they came back and said, we want Office. Callie made reference to OneNote in Nokia. OneNote for our students is an absolutely critical application. And in research that we've conducted at the university, they've come back to us and said, we really need OneNote on whatever device we're using. We have Link, which is going to be a means of extending virtual office hours for our faculty, as well as for conducting virtual meetings across administration. Our infrastructure is live at EDU. Our students have been on hosted email with cloud storage for over a year and a half, and we're going to be moving to the Office 365 environment shortly. So as you can see, looking at what our inherent investments had been and what our infrastructure was built upon, a Microsoft infrastructure was presenting to us, this is the opportunity for us to move forward. Where do we see this going? Looking at how to leverage this ecosystem, we started thinking, how do these technologies become valuable for our students, for our faculty, for our administrators, and for our alumni and other constituents that were part of this community that we call the university? Obviously, being able to collaborate on a document in OneNote, to be able to manage our content, this list of things here, shows you that there are many ways that the Microsoft infrastructure supports the university environment. But I don't think these are limited solely to the university environment. So I can only speak from my experience there, but you probably have scenarios in your organization, in your enterprises, that deal with these types of questions. And the university becomes an example of how to do that. By taking our infrastructure and combining it in a manner that allows us to provide a tool to our students, faculty, and administrator that gives them this channel for communication, that gives them this opportunity to collaborate, that enables different means of communication across these different organizations and sometimes competing interests, we look to change the manner in which our students, our faculty, and our constituents interact. We look to create those opportunities. We look to develop and foster new learning opportunities as well as new business opportunities. With that in mind, we're proud to announce today that all of our incoming freshmen in 2 weeks when we start orientation will be receiving the Nokia Lumia 900 device as an enhancement to our mobile computing program. Our mobile computing program continues in the manner in which it has, but this year, by providing this device to our students, we're looking to engage with our students and allow them to interact with each other during the course of the months before they come to campus. So the way our program works is that our students come to orientation in June. They spend 2 days in June, and they, at the end of the second day, they're given the technology that comes in their package. And this year, when they leave campus, they will leave with our traditional mobile computing model, but then the new enhancement of the Nokia Lumia 900. In addition to that, we've been working closely with Microsoft, with Nokia, and with Migration Mobi, who's a development partner, to create a custom application to enhance the native functionality of the Windows Phone environment. And so what you see here is the Shoe Mobile app redesigned for Windows Phone, but also with an enhanced freshman experience component that isn't available on other platforms. And the reason why we did that was to ensure that we were reaching all of our students, that we enabled all of our students at the same time, regardless of their background, regardless of where they were coming from and what they were doing. But what this provides is the students an opportunity to interact with people that they met on campus in June in their peer groups, with their peer advisors, with faculty and administrators on campus, and do so in a way, in a place that they want to do so. It enhances it brings in their social media channels. It provides them access and communication through these devices to friends they may have met for a 2 day period in early June that they may not see again until September when they return to campus. They're also able to interact with their administrative functionality and look at their roommates and interact with their suite mates and their on campus when they return. So what we're creating here is an opportunity for the students to engage with each other and engage with the institution in a way that previously hadn't been possible. When I looked at the title of this and had mentioned tiles, I felt like it was important for me to show how these tiles were coming in to the application itself. And what we feel that this does is this brings a connection to the university that's unavailable elsewhere. Students will be able to pick any of these tiles and have them on their home screen on their Lumia 900 and therefore be able to interact directly with what's most important to them. They'll be able to get feeds from Facebook and Twitter as a social media related to the university. News information, events information. Also, be able to interact with their peer groups. You see that along those you have their roommates and their university life course, which is where we teach them the skills and the preparation necessary for how to be successful in college life. So we're very excited about the ability to drive this granular level of interactivity with the students, building it upon our enterprise infrastructure and have it in the hands and in the pockets of our students for 3 months prior to them coming to campus. They will have such a different understanding of what it means to be a college student and what it means in particular to be a college student at Seton Hall University. To complement this, we're also looking at other ways to support teaching and learning. How are we going to utilize the devices to replace clicker technologies that continue to come in different shapes, sizes, and formats across the board? How can we leverage these devices to minimize administrative processes? How can we focus on promoting student research and faculty and student collaboration? And what are other ways that we can provide research mechanisms to enhance the academic and learning experience for our students? Now, I mentioned earlier that we've been working closely with the Nokia arm at INDT down in Manaus, Brazil, on Nokia data gathering. And this started a while ago. We were working with NGOs and Nokia themselves to figure out how to use Nokia data gathering in a broader sense. And if you're not familiar with Nokia data gathering, what it does is it provides you with a survey mechanism that can be real-time, that pushes surveys to your devices and allows for that data to be collected either by an interviewer or by whoever who has those devices and receives the application. And they can just fulfill the data and put it back. It goes to the server, it's geotagged, and it can be multimedia at this point. And there's a lot that can be done with a system like that. Originally designed to help solve the dengue fever problems in the Amazon in Brazil, NDG has been very successful in trying to minimize the impact of famine and those types of scenarios. But when we started to look at this, when Mike Taylor, who is the academic director of the Center for Mobile Research and Innovation, with me, when we started looking at this tool, we started realizing how valuable this was for teaching and learning with technology and for using mobile devices to promote and support that. Just this past May, we finished the port of the NDG client from the Java-based application to the Windows Phone application, and we're very excited to give you a sense of what it looks like. And this is going to be a very important tool for us as an enterprise and for us to be able to determine how these technologies are impacting the lives of our students. By providing the Lumia 900, by providing Nokia data gathering to our students, we're going to be able to interact with our students by surveying, how's it going? What's happening with your device? What's happening with all of the technology? How is your preparation for the university going? What types of things do you need from us as an institution to provide you to help ease your transition from high school life to collegiate life? And so this becomes very exciting for us because we are looking at how can we then drive this further. Can our business students at our Stillman School of Business, can we begin using this for marketing research? Can we begin using this for other opportunities? What does this do? And really all it requires is that we have a virtualized server on campus that receives the data and houses the server-side client. And this allows us to pull in this wide variety of data and therefore gives us another opportunity for engaging our students in the technology. Some of the other things that we're doing at CMRI, and some of these are Nokia specific, but most of them, they're all mobile. But we're very excited about where we're looking. Obviously, there's a lot of work being done with mobile learning and a lot of question about mobile learning. Right? Why would you do things with one device? Why would you do things when so many students have it? Why, you know, these are questions that come up, natural questions. Mike and I are working with a consortium of faculty and IT leadership in higher education from around the world to help us determine what is the impact of the mobile device on the life of a student. What is the impact of the mobile device on the life of an administrator and the life of a faculty member? How can universities capitalize on this? Obviously, we're looking at training new developers, particularly for Windows Phone. Because of its direct connection to our infrastructure, we see a significant amount of value in the evolution of Windows Phone. How can we promote the creative use of development skills to the next generation of college students and to the next generation of business leaders? And how can we become a conduit between the consumer who's coming through now and growing through high school now and getting to the point where they're in college and looking forward and looking at the future? How can our research that's being done to help determine what the actual impact of this technology is, how can that be utilized to enhance the next generation and those next technologies, like the nanotechnology, like indoor positioning? What comes next, and how can we empower our students to do so? And we're looking at that through the Young Developers Program. We're looking at how does mobile interact with educational gaming, and the whole, you know, you may have seen the MyTechEd and the badging and you know, all of those things that we see here on campus and we see throughout Foursquare and whatnot. How does badging impact education? How does location? How does mobile? What can we do with the synthesis between Microsoft Office, Nokia Data Gathering, Xbox Live? What can be done to enhance the learning that's possible and to engage the students in manners in which they may not have been able to previously? How can you look at these? What about sensor networks? What about the ability to collect data over a mobile device? Mike's doing a great deal of research on how to collect data from environmental devices that are collecting this information and have that automatically imported into Nokia Data Gathering for community analysis. What are the next things that are possible, and how are they enhanced by what we're building upon? Not creating an entirely new enterprise, not creating an entirely new system, or being so disparate that we can't all benefit from collaboration and building forward. So from where we're looking at it, we look at this as mobile exploration. We have an opportunity here to really research and develop. We have an opportunity to promote new investigation. We have an opportunity to be innovative. Thank you very much. We have an opportunity to explore ecosystems. And that's truly what we're looking at. We're looking at the deployment of a mobile ecosystem. Pardon me. And that's why it's so exciting for us to be able to start this next generation of mobile computing at Seton Hall by providing these devices to our students, by empowering them, ensuring that there's a level set of what they have access to from a technological standpoint, and ensuring that it inherently ties to our enterprise and our infrastructure. CMRI is looking to continue to expand its partnerships. We're looking at having our corporate partnerships. Obviously, Nokia is a big partner of ours, has been for years. Obviously, Microsoft is a huge partner of ours. Without AT&T, deploying the devices would have been impossible. Looking beyond that, we have partners in the NGO area. We have partners in government agencies, and we obviously have partners in the educational field. We're happy to work with whomever is looking at this as an opportunity to really contribute back and really to explore how far we all can go. That being said, I understand that many times people look at higher ed and say it's a it's an isolated world. Thinking back to Shakespeare's Love, Labor's Lost, it's this place on a hill that never has to deal with reality, just every so often comes down. And to some extent, there's truth to that. But the reality of it is that on a collegiate campus, on a higher education campus, it's a microcosm of all of our society. We have aspects of every element. We have administrative things, we have social things, we have consumer things, we have transaction things. All of those things take place. Because of that, we like the idea that Seton Hall University and the Center for Mobile Research and Innovation can stand as a beacon for looking at how to explore these things in a manner that provides us insight on how to do them effectively when we deploy them on a broader scale. We have the opportunity to work in a way that gives us an avenue for research and gives us an avenue to produce evidence of its effectiveness. Because of that, we look forward to expanding. We look forward to continuing. We're proud to be partners with Nokia. We're proud to be partners with Microsoft. We're proud to be partners with AT&T. And we're really excited about where we go next. Thank you.
No escaping, unfortunately. I've stopped him walking away. So we have I think about nearly 20 minutes for Q&A. If anybody wants to step up to the microphone, they're welcome. So please introduce yourself, the company you're from, or where you're from. And yeah.
Hi, I'm Corey Roth. I'm not really a Windows Phone guy. I'm a SharePoint guy, but I like my Nokia 900 quite a bit. But on days of heavy use, like today, the battery life is questionable. So one, I don't know if it'll help, but if we had the ability perhaps to disable LTE, that might increase battery life. I don't know. You're already experts. You can tell me, but it's a concern.
No, and I hear you. And obviously, you know, for instance, last week we made updates to the phones. So, you know, we constantly, I think with all smartphones, you find that, you know, battery life is a challenge, and it's an area that we continue to invest in and look at. And obviously, we've made improvements already. For instance, the Lumia 800, which we launched in Europe, we've made several updates to that that have improved battery life. So it's an area that we continue. I think, you know, I will say that the battery lives are comparable with other smartphones out there, leading smartphones. You know, so this is an experience that every user has. And I think as we pack larger screens in and more wireless technology, it's a challenge. But I think, you know, the research that we do, you know, areas like fuel cell technology, et cetera, you know, we're looking at how we overcome these things as well. So,
thanks.
My name is Kurt. I'm from Oklahoma. And I guess I had a few questions because we talk a lot online about different things. I have a Lumina 900. And it's a very tough phone, as you show, but there's one part on the back where the camera is, and it scratches up so easily that it kind of looks like, you know, crud after a while. Do you get, you know, I don't know what to do with that. I mean, it doesn't look too good. And then the second question I have is, are you going to be, does the Lumina 900 have the capability of is it NFC? And the third one is, are you guys going to be releasing the Batman phone here in the U.S.?
Okay, so the latter one, I'm not certain what the answer is. I know that we've launched in other markets. Maybe one of my U.S. colleagues might be able to help me with that. But that's, obviously, the Batman phone is a limited edition phone. I'll see if somebody can come back to me with the answer on that one. In terms of, you know, the marking of the device, etc., obviously, you know, we provide rubberized cases, you know, for the devices, you know, which I'd recommend. Obviously, that helps prevent the scratching, etc. But obviously, you know, the feedback you give us is exactly the kind of thing we take into the next products and how we evolve things as well. Sorry, the other question you had was. The NFC. So presently, the Nokia Lumia 900 doesn't support NFC. We, as I mentioned earlier on, we have the Nokia Lumia 610 NFC, which is a special variant that's available. Will be available with Orange, the Orange network. It's an area that we're investing in. Obviously, we have other devices. I think so far we shipped 9 devices that support NFC. So it's an area that we're very much driving forward. And for instance, that device supports both the MasterCard and Visa NFC payments. So that, you know, so this is an area you'll see you know, expanding over the coming years. So.
Hi, Scott Streetmatter, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am a current Windows Phone user. My wife has the Lumia 900. And I just wondered, what was the reasoning behind, you know, going exclusively with Microsoft and Windows Phone versus to create a Nokia handset for the Android market as well? It seems like Microsoft is not, you know, hardware, you know, single hardware, you know, the Nokia is among several hardware vendors, but yet you guys are, you know, putting all your eggs basically into the Windows Phone platform.
So obviously, talking about our strategy, we made a clear decision to invest in you know, the relationship with Microsoft. I think that gives us ability to, you know, drive a successful ecosystem and be part, you know, in driving that ecosystem rather than a part player. I think that, you know, clearly, I think the one thing I will say is obviously the Windows Phone ecosystem is not fragmented. You know, that's a deliberate choice of ours and Microsoft and other OEMs. We're trying to drive an ecosystem that's consistent. So business apps, for instance, run across all the devices and build that ecosystem. In terms of, I think, obviously, from a business standpoint, you know, the offering you get on Windows Phone is significantly more advanced than any Android device out there in the marketplace, and the way that it plugs and plays into the infrastructure, things like security, etc., all of those elements. So, you know, so Windows Phones was a strategic choice to make, and it comes down to what we can do with Microsoft as joint partners and with the ecosystem, and what we believe we can deliver in terms of hardware and handsets going forward as well. So.
Yeah, I think your phones are great, and you know, I do like the Windows Phone platform. So I think you're doing a good job, and I think you made the right choice. I just wanted to kind of hear why.
Yeah, no worries. And, yeah, so. Gentleman over here at the
moment. My name is Ward Rossett. I run SharePoint and Student Portal and SQL Server and a few other systems for Texas Woman's University. And a question for the Seton Hall guy. You guys are currently have all your student on live.edu, but you mentioned you were going to move to Office 365 with that.
Yeah, we're going to use. We're moving our entire campus ultimately to that in a phase.
Faculty, staff, and students.
Yes.
Are you going to do that all in one phase? Or are you going to move those as bits and pieces? Or
in all likelihood, not all at one time. But over the course of a shorter period of time than we might have previously done. Right. With mobile computing. The way that we are now, adding this component and making some other changes to what we're doing, it's going to make sense for us to expedite that process, but we will still do so probably over the course of the next year. I don't think the final project plan has been confirmed for how we're going to do that and which groups when. As you know, on a collegiate campus, the politics of different departments mapping out calendars, mapping out the ups and downs of when things can and will, can and cannot be made available to, you know, so there's a lot of intricacy to the planning of that type of migration, but ultimately that is the plan, yes.
So you currently have your faculty and staff on in-house Exchange?
Yes, that's hosted on campus right now.
Did you have a challenge getting them to agree to move off campus into the cloud?
What's interesting is that our faculty are used to a refresh process of their laptop every 3 years, Mike. Over the course of the past 15 years, every 3 years having to move data from one computer to the next computer, the addition of the cloud in recent years has actually made that much more agreeable of a process for our faculty. Rather than taking numerous hours of sitting there and copying hard drives to and then pasting hard drives, essentially, you know, being able to train faculty and, well, you don't train faculty, I know. You educate faculty. You train students. When educating faculty about the benefits of saving data into the cloud, that is a key component. And then by enhancing the environment, by providing the additional SkyDrive space, you know, by linking a live account or a Hotmail, you know, and having that ability to do so, we're starting to see a lot more pickup of that, a lot more excitement about the ability to have these things exist in different areas and being able to, you know, faculty and peer advisors and faculty mentors who are in the Windows Phone pilot are looking at it as, hey, I can take notes in OneNote on this device, have it save in SkyDrive, and have it show up on my home computer, or have it show up on my Seton Hall issued computer, or what, and those types of things are outweighing some of the concerns. Obviously, there are always going to be concerns about intellectual privacy and property and privacy, and those cases, as there are in every enterprise. But yeah, so there's a series of challenges that, as you know, get departmental by departmental that you walk through in terms of doing a transition like this.
Hi, yes, I'm Steve Helwig. I work at Siemens Energy. I had two questions. First, are you looking to bring offline support for your other Maps applications, such as Transit or Nokia Maps, like you have with Drive, to enable Transit support when you're in overseas areas where you don't have internet access? And the second question is if you're looking at also keyboards for some of the future Lumia devices, maybe to help the transition for business users who are used to BlackBerries.
Okay, so I think the easy answer to that. Yeah, so let me answer the Maps and Nokia Transport. So, obviously, Nokia Transport is a live service. So, that's, for instance, in the city where I live in Helsinki, basically, that actually is based on live data from the transport, so from the bus, where it is, how far away it is from the stop, etc. So, I'm not aware of plans to make it an offline service, because obviously it would just become a timetable service. I'm not aware, but there may be plans at least to provide a timetable. In terms of Nokia Maps, obviously traditionally we've had exactly that capability as well. So I'm not going to make any announcements on what we're doing on Nokia Lumi, but obviously it's a capability we've had, and obviously it's part of Nokia Drive already. So the question then, the other question you asked.
About keyboards.
Keyboards. Again, obviously, there are third-party keyboard support, etc. But at the moment, we've not made any announcements about QWERTY devices and plans for QWERTY devices at this moment. So,
can I make a quick comment about the question about Android?
Yeah, go on.
From our standpoint, the decision of Nokia to go with Windows Phone was a huge win, for the standpoint that, first of all, there's a lot of creative development happening in the Windows space, a lot of things that are growing. It's not segmented as Android is. It allows us as an organization, like I mentioned earlier in the slides, to ensure that we're level setting for all of our students and all of our faculty as well. And it helps us reduce the cost and concerns about managing the variety of devices and OSs and the challenges that might come from that more open source. However, it's not to the extreme of the quote-unquote walled garden as an iOS, and it fits in our enterprise system significantly better. Because of the ability to manage an enterprise and the ability to, so when I looked at, when I waited with bated breath to hear Stephen Eloff's announcement the day that they announced what they were doing, because we'd have this long history with Nokia, as a longtime Symbian fan, I may have been one of the few that jumped up and down at the decision to go with Windows Phone, recognizing that Windows Phone is early in its evolution. Right, and still so advanced in its inherent capability and its inherent ability to tie to our infrastructure.
I'm Jens. I'm from Denmark, and I was wondering, are you going to have several hardware specifications for each brand? So, for instance, if I wanted 32 gigabytes of memory for the Lumia 800, do you plan on bringing that into the market at any time?
So I'm not going to comment on specific products, because obviously we release, but obviously, we profile the devices based on, obviously about the user need and the amount of, on-device storage, and obviously, I'd say also cloud storage, SkyDrive, and obviously, if you're running an enterprise cloud, plays a role in how much storage you need on the device. But obviously, I think the demands of devices come down to what we require for a specific market and the kind of the experiences that people are looking to, photography, video, etc. And I think, like many devices, you see a growing need for increased storage. So, any other questions? If not, I have one that I'm going to ask David, because something that came to my mind, and we'll close on this, is, you've got students who are, 19, 20 probably, maybe even slightly younger, I presume that many of them have mobile phones when they walk in. Why, and probably smartphones as well, why go to the expense of giving them another phone?
It's a question I've been answering for months. As we move up to this, and there's a great expectation, right? And oftentimes, I think the perception doesn't meet the reality. Although I do understand that oftentimes perception becomes reality, right? So there's a perception that all of our students are coming to campus with smartphones. And the reality of it is with our campus, surveys of our students have shown that less than 50% are coming with actual smartphones. And if they have smartphones, they're coming with hand-me-down smartphones. Those that are coming with devices that are their own and are planned. So that, you know, it matches the demographic, right? There are the very wealthy and there are the not as wealthy. And you deal with that. The same is true in terms of laptop computers. Right? Why do we still hand out laptops? Well, because many of our students, majority of our students, have either shared a laptop at home across their family or with, or are using a replacement model. Those that are coming with an iOS, a BlackBerry, a Nokia, or whatever device they're coming to campus, it goes exactly to my statement about Android. Right? For the university to create a custom experience for our students to benefit from, and for the university to ensure that we are able to communicate effectively with our students in those months leading up to their coming to campus full time, which will not only enhance their experience with each other, but from a business standpoint will help the university reduce attrition and increase retention of our students. Right, we can ensure that by providing this device, by ensuring that it integrates effectively with our infrastructure and that we know how to effectively use it and control it and secure it, then we're able to be effective with the next model. Will it always be like that? I can't predict that. I can say that what we're finding now is that by ensuring that all of our students are level set with the same technologies, we can then not worry about the technology as much for it and then apply them to specific teaching, learning, community building, et cetera, experiences that we want to.
Okay, thank you. You know, very different view, obviously, from the BYOD approach that many companies are taking. So
absolutely. Many higher education organizations are saying, well, let's just do BYOD. And, you know, that is one way to solve it. But then that with that comes as many challenges as it solves, with the security issues, with ensuring that applications are available. And I think, you know, Mike said something once that I think was very intuitive. In higher education, oftentimes education challenges with mobile were solved with finding a specific application to solve a specific academic problem. And what Windows Phone does is Windows Phone tends to take a lot of those features and functionalities and bake them inherently into the operating system. And the phone itself, and you know, Mike said, the phone becomes the app. The phone becomes the platform. And individual applications for specific curricular things become less critical. I can collaborate with three people by having a OneNote on my home screen and have that update whenever I open it. And if I'm in a class or in a lecture or whatnot or out, and I can take a picture and add it to my OneNote and it shows up in somebody else's screen, that's a fantastic learning opportunity.
Thank you. And thank you very much. We've run out of time for today's session, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spending the time. Obviously, you know, please visit us in the exhibition stand. We're at the back of the hall. And obviously, you know, people who've still got the tiles left in their bag, there's an opportunity to actually take home a Nokia Lumia 900 if you enter that company on the stand. Thank you very much.